Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our journey through the season of Easter continues. That journey began 2 weeks ago when we joined Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, as they arrived in the garden and they discovered the good news of the empty tomb, the good news that Christ had risen from the dead. Then last week, we joined Thomas as the risen Lord invited him to touch his wounds and see for himself that Jesus had indeed come back to life. And today, we join Cleopas and another disciple as they walk along the road and talk with each other, trying to make sense of the horror of a crucified Savior and the rumors of a risen Lord. Now, the author of Luke tells us that the travelers were talking and discussing with each other all that had happened in that whirlwind of days. The Greek implies that they weren't just talking casually with each other, though, but they were examining evidence together. It's as if they were lawyers trying to gather enough evidence to convince a jury and even themselves that they weren't mistaken, that their faith in Jesus hadn't been misplaced. They were so absorbed in sorting through the evidence that they didn't even hear footsteps approaching them from behind. They were so engrossed in their conversation that they were startled when they heard someone ask them, "What are you talking about?" Can't you just imagine Cleopas and the other disciples slowing to a stop and looking at each other with questioning eyes, each wondering how the other might respond to that question because so much had happened and they didn't know how to put it into words. They didn't know how to tell this man that their hopes had been destroyed, and they did not even know what to believe anymore. So finally, instead of giving a response, Cleopas asked a question of his own. "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what has happened?" And the stranger simply said, "What happened?" So they told him. They told him that Jesus was a man of God, a prophet blessed by both God and the people, and they told him how the chief priests and leaders had betrayed Jesus, how he had been sentenced to death, and how he had died. And they said, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." But we had hoped. There is so much expressed in just those four words. They speak of a future that is not to be, a dream that created energy and enthusiasm but then fell apart, a promise that originally created faith, but now maybe seemed to be false. But we had hoped. Those four words speak of a future that seems closed off, even dead. Once challenged to write a short story in 6 words, Ernest Hemingway supposedly replied by penning on a napkin, "For sale, baby shoes never used." Another way of saying, but we had hoped. Words that communicate not only the tragedy of what happened, but also the gaping hole left behind by all that could have been, but will never be. How often have we found ourselves uttering those same words? We had hoped, but the cancer returned. We had hoped, but the addiction continues. We had hoped, but our beloved died. We had hoped, but our marriage ended. Our child stopped speaking to us. The job offer didn't come through. The friend just doesn't understand. We had hoped, but now the future seems closed off, even dead. But that is not the end of the story. Cleopas and the other disciple found that their journey continued as they kept walking, and as the stranger told them all that was revealed about Jesus by Moses and the prophets. As they approached Emmaus, remember, the two men slowed to take the path into town, but the stranger kept walking. They called after him, "Wait, why don't you stay with us for the night?" And he agreed. And they settled in and they sat down to eat. And the stranger took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And all of a sudden their eyes were opened and they discovered the risen Christ right in their midst. And then in an instant, he was gone. They looked at each other in astonishment and said, "How did we not know? Weren't our hearts burning within us as he walked beside us along the way?" When we read this familiar story, we often hurry to the burning hearts part, to celebrating with the disciples their encounter with the risen Christ. But just as before there is a resurrection, there is a cross, it's important to remember that before there are burning hearts, there are broken ones. It was to those broken-hearted disciples that the risen Christ appeared long ago, and it is to broken-hearted disciples that the risen Christ still appears today. The risen Christ shows up for us in the midst of sadness and grief. He shows up for us when our hopes are dashed and our dreams are shattered. He shows up when we need someone to hold the broken pieces of our hearts. So often, when we are in deep grief, we also feel profoundly alone. I hear that again and again from people who have lost loved ones. They feel great support in the days immediately following the death of a spouse or a parent or a child or a sibling. People come to be with them at the wake and the funeral. Food shows up in their fridge. Flowers appear on their doorstep. Cards fill their mailbox. But then a couple of weeks pass. A couple of months go by, maybe even a couple of years. And the pain of that grief is still so present. But the people and the food and the flowers and the cards, they're not there anymore. The same can be true of other kinds of grief and loss, too. There are lots of times on our journeys when we can feel profoundly alone. There are so many things in this world that can break our hearts. But here's where I find hope in the story of the road to Emmaus. Remember that as Cleopas and the other disciple came near Emmaus and slowed to stop for the night, the stranger, Jesus, kept walking. He didn't invite himself in. He waited for an invitation. But when he received that invitation, he did not hesitate to join them. They hadn't even figured out yet exactly who he was. They didn't even know yet what they believed about the risen Lord, but Jesus joined them anyway. And I think that tells us something profoundly hopeful about our risen Lord. Jesus will show up for us in the midst of sadness and grief. He will show up for us when our hopes are dashed and our dreams are shattered. He will show up when we need someone to hold the broken pieces of our hearts. He will show up. Even if we haven't figured out exactly who he is or what we believe, all we have to do is ask him to join us. And he will rush to our sides. So maybe the cancer has returned. Maybe the addiction continues. Maybe our beloved has died. Maybe our marriage has ended or our child has stopped talking to us. Maybe the job offer hasn't come through or the friend just doesn't understand. Maybe our hearts are broken. But that is not the end of the story. That is never the end of the story, because we can invite Jesus in and he will heal our broken hearts. If only we will receive the risen Christ and let our hearts be set on fire with his love. The risen Christ is just waiting to bring us healing and hope and wholeness. So friends, let us believe that with every fiber of our being. Because maybe then we will be like Cleopas and the other disciple. Maybe then our eyes will be opened and we too will discover the risen Christ right by our side. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn today is "My Heart Sings Out with Joyful Praise," a reminder that we can indeed praise our risen Lord even in the midst of really hard times. This hymn is on an insert in the bulletin for those of you who are here in the sanctuary, and if you are worshiping with us from home, the words will drop into the comments so that you can sing right along with us.